back to the Hooligans Bitch. Obviously, it's your boys, Chad and Michael, yeah, back at it. Episode 99, we're so close to episode 100.
The century mark.
It's a big point. I wish it had a bigger correlation with something in the season, but here we are.
Well, we planned it out to have Liverpool at Arsenal be on the 100th episode, which we're going to get. However, that game will be so insignificant to both of our seasons. I think at this point, you can hopefully say you've locked down the number two spot. It's still, I guess, technically up in the air. But let's be real. Like, if you guys drop down to fifth or something in the next, 3 weeks, that would be incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible, right? I don't want to see it. I think you should probably get 3 points on this weekend. But yeah, we'll see. But would you like to start at the Champions League and we'll go from there?
Yeah, you know.
Thoughts, feelings? You can cry, it's okay.
No, I'm not to that point. It's a two legs that I think Arsenal mostly played well in and mostly did everything right except finish.
Yeah.
Which unfortunately is, you know, a key component of being successful, especially at, you know, a top end like that. Yeah, I don't know. It was, you know, PSG played it well. They basically did what Arsenal's been struggling with the whole season of just getting back, packing the box, and you know, they defended cross as well. Arsenal certainly had a few looks on the crosses, but either Donnarumma's making some crazy save or just off target. Yeah, just, you know, another item to go on the cursed season list. But you know, Donnarumma, he just turned up. He turns up when he needs to turn up. And, you know, both legs, I think he kind of turned up. And I don't know. If Arsenal had a true striker, I don't know if this would have changed much. I think Donnarumma kind of has that energy about him right now, at least in Champions League games, of just like, nothing's getting past me and we're going through.
It's PSG goalkeeper, right? I mean,
yeah.
It's... I feel your pain. I know what you've gone through. Yeah. I can't say Liverpool played better than Arsenal just because it was, you know, we're going against the same beast. I do think injuries did play a factor in both, more for Arsenal in this, right? Because you're missing key components to your starting 11. You know, Liverpool did see Trent go out in that match, so that did... It was late in the second leg, but we still had to change and game plan differently, and it was just different, right? I mean, disappointing, yes, right? Because you made it this far, you were so close to the final, but also unexpected too, right? What Arsenal fan thought they were going to be in the semifinals of the Champions League where we were at, say, in January, right? Pretty incredible.
No, exactly. You know, it's hard to kind of follow the post-match talk on the subreddit and stuff, because it's like primarily just everyone raging and emotional and, you know, some people calling for Arteta's head and all this sort of stuff is like overreactions, basically. But I think if you do step back and like look at the season as a whole and, you know, yeah, nothing really panned out the way fans would have wanted it to, but like at the end of the day, you got to semifinal of a Champions League, which, like, you know, we haven't been known to do since 2008-2009 season was our last semifinal.
Was it against Bayern?
You know, it doesn't say on my list here. But I wouldn't be surprised, because it's probably either Bayern or Barcelona would be my guess. But they seem to be our two favorites to meet up with in the Champions League. But, you know, so it's while a bummer to get this close and go out, it's also, yeah, it's such a feat of this squad to get here in the first place and, you know, look like we belong. It didn't feel like we just, like, happened into the semifinal. Like, we took down Real Madrid easily, you know, and that's now, yeah, gone and forgotten. I get that, but, like, I think you ask Arsenal fans, like, true thoughts leading into that Madrid match, and, like, while everyone was certainly excited and hopeful, I think a lot of people probably didn't expect Arsenal to get past that, or at least in the way that they did.
Mm-hmm.
And then to come up against PSG and, like I said, do almost everything right except for being able to finish, then it's just how it goes sometimes. And I think, you know, PSG looked like they have that little bit of luck that teams need in any sort of tournament to just kind of, you know, Donnarumma to make these saves and for them to get these breaks and kind of break through an Arsenal team that for, you know, the whole season has been, you know, pretty good about not allowing goals. It's, you know, not the outcome we all wanted, but that's sport, right? You know, it's, I get everyone only kind of looks at the trophies and wants the trophies and wants the titles and all this. But it's more about the journey, mm-hmm. honestly, you know, and not just this season, but just the progression that Arsenal continues to make, you know, another second place finish, another challenge for the title, another, you know, progression into the Champions League beyond the round of 16, where we sat for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years. Right? Like, that was just Arsenal. Yeah, in the Champions League, you get that little kick of money, but then you're out in round of 16,
mm-hmm.
mostly to Bayern, which, like, is that better? Or would you rather have these moments where it's like you're pushing forward, you're playing, you know, even better teams at this point of the stage, and you did not turn up, you just couldn't get the ball in the net.
I think expectations after, I mean, the Madrid game, everyone was on the high, right? Like, it was like anything after this is just like a gift, right? We beat Madrid, and then you get to PSG, you lose 1-0 in the first leg and go, well, we could still do this, right? So I don't know. It's just one of those times when it's like you expect the unexpected and you're like, maybe we could do it. It was just hopes got high, right? And then they got shot down and that happens, especially because the officiating that last match was a bit rocky at times.
A little bit.
questionable, you know, calls were made. And I just looked it up. Arsenal in 2008 was kicked out by Man United with a brace from no other than Ronaldo. So,
okay, well.
You know.
Yeah.
It happened.
Yeah, so, I don't know. I mean, I think a lot of the reporting around it, too, has just been kind of crazy. Like, I saw one saying that, like, Arsenal got vanquished and that Arsenal bottled it and all this. Like,
well,
I get, like, the banter talk kind of is the clickbaity titles and verbiage that, you know, news outlets want to use. And it probably works. It probably triggers some fans and they click and it's like, we didn't get vanquished, yada, yada. And it's like, we didn't, you know, but it's just getting overblown, I think, in that respect. But yeah, I don't know. I think just like season as a whole for me has been just cursed, honestly, between the injuries, between the early red cards, you know, Edu, our director of football, leaving halfway through. It's just like things just didn't exactly pan out as they were supposed to. And, you know, to come up against a Donnarumma who's just unbeatable right now is, you know, just another nail in that coffin. But I don't know. It's a bummer because now there's like nothing to look forward to, I guess, for the next handful of weeks. But I think the final between Inter and PSG will be good.
Yeah.
I think it'll show us how good this PSG team actually is, because I think Inter looks the better squad, looks more complete.
From top to bottom, for sure.
Top to bottom, yeah. So, yeah, I think it'll be good, though. I think it'll be... I mean, I'd love it to be just another replay of Inter and Barcelona, honestly, to some extent, because those games are just... That was peak football right
Man.
There.
It was like as soon as the first leg started and the goals were happening. Let me see how early that first
goal immediately, was. Right?
It was pretty fast. Goal in the first minute, goal in the 21st, goal in the 24th, goal in the 38th, goal in the 63rd, goal in the 65th. So it was just like nonstop back and forth. And then after that, you know, both teams, I said, okay, save it for the second leg at this point. And they did exactly that. I mean, that extra time in this game was just madness. It was madness. Yeah. And it didn't feel like it was always going Inter's way, but Yamal, man, I was looking at stats of him the other day, and it was comparing, I think, his first 100 matches against Ronaldo and Messi, and just the insane amount of goals, insane amount of assists. And I think those two players combined had like 4 goals overall. It was before the age of 18 or something. It wasn't the first 100 matches.
Okay, yeah.
And it was just incredible, the stats he's putting up already. And I'm like,
yeah,
I get it. He's young, right? So you can't predict his future. But at this rate, I mean, you can't throw him in a GOAT conversation just yet. But it's certainly shaping up that way, right? He's lining up for it. At 17, doing all this, it's pretty incredible. So I think the Inter Barcelona game. I don't like saying it because it's not true, but it felt like that was the finals. Right, it felt like those are the two best teams that we've seen in the Champions League up to date, and you know, they certainly played like it was a finals match. So it'll be interesting to see how, I guess, more PSG come out in this game, like how they did against Liverpool. Are they going to come out fast? Are they going to come out with pace and try to put goals in early, or are they going to kind of be methodical with it? Because that's, you know, I'm not saying Inter isn't pacey. But they're methodical in their attacks, right? It's coming from the wings. It's really smart shots. I think they didn't take a whole lot of shots, but they're converting all their shots into shots on target and then scoring them. Let's see. 3, 6, 9, 12, 13. 13 shots in that last game, and 7 of them were on target with 4 goals. Okay. So their conversion rate is super high. It's different from, I think, Liverpool and Arsenal, to where essentially no shots were coming in from Liverpool's team. I don't know how many shots Arsenal put up.
I think the last game was like 11 with 6 on target or
something.
Okay,
that's not bad considering who's in the net for PSG.
Yeah.
It's going to be, I hope it's a good match. I hope I get to watch it. Hope I get to watch it live. It will, I don't know, hopefully a party in Munich.
I mean, I think if you're around there anyway, whether you're in or not, it's going to be a huge party, I think. And I think it'll be entertaining. But like you said, I think the Inter Barcelona was like,
that was peak.
The true final.
That was peak. Yeah, that was one of the best two-leg matches we had, I think, in the Champions League. Obviously, Liverpool and PSG were very entertaining, went to PKs and all that, but this was just like a back-and-forth duel, which was really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Great from the outside, too, to not be stressed about it either.
Just kicking back. I felt stressed for Arsenal, right? Just in terms of the semifinals, like, leg. But, yeah, just that day, pure PSG and Inter, very fun. Very fun. Kept looking up, like, another one.
Yep. Yeah, for real. I stepped away one moment. It was like 2 goals happened somehow. What is going on?
Can't. So, yeah, I think Inter's built for this. I mean, they're definitely what I would say is in the tougher domestic league, right? PSG is what we're calling the Farmers League at this point. I mean, Inter's not even in first right now in the Serie A. So they're still battling to win that thing. It's very possible. It's very close. Napoli with 77, Inter with 74. Inter had 2. And here's the thing. When we were doing our Champions League fantasy rosters, I wanted to go all Inter. But they were in terrible form this last week. They lost 2 games in a row. No Turam, which again, I was like, he's probably going to come back for this game.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if you saw the allegations going against him going into the second leg, which was just like, oh boy, what are they going to do here? Are they going to pull him? They're not going to play him. I don't know what those look like realistically. Was it a rumor? Is it real? Who knows? I was just unsure what the PR team at Inter was going to do. And on a game sense, they made the right call. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what other news breaks before the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Could this, again, who knows what happens in these situations? Who knows where they came from? It doesn't look great from what I've seen. Yeah. And he's a very important player for that team.
Yeah. Certainly maybe throws a wrench in some plans, depending what Inter wants to do with it. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, at this point, I feel like unless something very concrete comes out, he's probably playing.
Probably playing, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I agree with that. So, May 31st.
Yep.
And then on the flip side, we got the Euros. I'm sorry, Europa League final. all right, who do you want to win that game? Man U versus Tottenham.
For me, it has to be Man U, unfortunately. But I don't want to deal with the Tottenham fans going around finally having won a trophy after so long. And, you know, they'll say, yeah, they won in Europe when Arsenal hasn't and all this sort of stuff. Like, I get it. I get it's all the banter. But, like, I don't want to hear it. I'd rather Man U do it and I don't got to hear any of it. But either way, it's criminal.
Dude, it's so bad. It's so bad. Two trash teams going against each other in the final. I'm like, who are they going to roll out for their starting 11 for both sides? I'm going to watch it, obviously, just because it's going to be hopefully peak entertainment. It's just crazy teams who are in 16th and 15th place in their leagues in the same league are going against each other for a trophy. This has to be the worst ranked teams in the table, I would say, combined to make a final.
Probably.
I can't imagine it being worse.
No,
I'm super curious now. I remember Sevilla being down there once upon a time. Yeah. And I don't remember who they played. Was it Dortmund out at that time? I'm going to look that up really quick. But I remember Sevilla being down in the table and like just putting all their cards into the Europa final. I think it was like 2015. They beat FK Dynpro, which I'm assuming is maybe from Ukraine. So I don't know what they look like that year, but
yeah, I mean, just a weird situation. I guess maybe I don't mind both of them reaching the final because like they won their games to get there, but it feels wrong that now one of them will have a spot in Champions League next season. And it's like, I get that's like part of the allure of winning Europa, but I don't think they ever anticipated teams to be like this bad domestically and then win to get into Champions League. But here we are.
I thought this was a troll account or something, but I just looked up, you know, worst teams to ever make Europa final, and Amorim might have come out with a quote of the season. And I know he's had some bangers in the past about his team. Okay, ready for this one? We could be the worst team in Premier League history with the Europa League title. So even he's out there saying it. So he's acknowledging that this, in quotes, I still feel that this is the worst season in 40 years. And if they win... See, here's the thing. Here's where I'm coming from as a Liverpool fan and not really necessarily caring who wins. But I do believe if Man U wins, they'll be able to bolster their squad a lot more, and have it obviously strengthened into next year and getting into Champions League. I don't think Tottenham has that same caliber of marketing to get those players to come into their squad. Despite making Champions League, it's a different beast compared to Man U compared to Tottenham. And especially now that Man U has a manager, right, who at least won a trophy versus Tottenham, who I imagine – if Ainge wins this thing, he's still out of there?
I think so.
Right? So
from everything that I've seen, it's like the writing was on the walls weeks ago, but they're just not going to make the same mistake of firing their coach right before a final.
It would be something, wouldn't it? So my brain is essentially saying I want Tottenham to win.
Yeah.
Just for those reasons I gave, but my heart is saying I hope you'll both lose.
And yeah, it's certainly one of those.
Y'all, 5 red cards to each team, game canceled, no one wins the trophy.
We need it. We need something that like the stadium cannot host it any longer, and like, oh, all the other stadiums are doing like renovations over summer, so they can't host it either. And then they just scrap the whole thing. And here we go.
Yep.
Both teams lose. Everyone else is happy.
So I did check if there a way for both teams to simultaneously forfeit a match, and it is if 2 red cards are given at the exact same, or a red card is given at the exact same time to 2 players to get both teams under 8 men on the field. So it is possible that this game could end in a forfeit.
Whoa. Okay, you know, Onana said he was going to do some risky stuff this season, so except now's his time to shine.
They got to get someone to it's got to be the same time punching situation.
Look, Onana, Romero, they'll go at it. I think Bruno will step in at that point because he's like, we're on the main stage now, we got to win. So then he'll step in, and then I don't know. It'll be a wild card from Tottenham's side. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know who steps in to take the other red, but it's going to be a worthy sacrifice.
competition authorities could step in if that happens. I'm reading this as we kind of talk about it. The result could stand. So say it's 1-0, all the red cards happen in the 70th minute. That team wins. The match could be replayed in full, which would be a fascinating thing to happen. Round 2. Yeah. Or they just play it out.
Well, none of those sound like what I want. So
abandonment? I would take an abandonment.
Yeah, come on.
No one gets Champions League. You're both out.
Yeah. Now, I do want to ask you, Arsene Wenger has been talking recently about he doesn't think Europa winners should go into Champions League anymore. Are you with that, or do you like how it is?
Did he say it after Tottenham made the final?
I don't know if they were in the final yet, but it certainly came out around in the last like week or so. The argument I've seen is that since Champions League teams no longer drop down, you're not necessarily taking the same level of competition potentially to the final anymore. Which I think is a fair point, but on the other end, I do like that, it offers a road to potentially more success or more financial backing for teams, because typically the teams in Europa League are, on the smaller end, right? So, I don't know. I was kind of conflicted on it. I could see both sides. I think I probably lean to keeping it as is.
But yeah, I think it's a good reward for a team that
wins
Europa. I mean, I don't want to say the competition is less than Champions League. I understand when you drop down, you're getting, those teams who just couldn't make it past that point. I think both arguments are fair. Maybe they could tweak it a little bit to increase the difficulty or something, but I think it's a fine reward. I think it's unfortunate that we're having Man U and Tottenham be in the final this year, but that's not an every year situation. I think you'll still get teams who will be top 5 in their domestic league who didn't make Champions League the year prior and deserve, and say they get 5th or 6th and they miss out on Champions League, but they win Europa. I think they do deserve that.
Yeah.
That spot,
and
I feel like
with the new Champions League format, this almost works better too, because like a lot of people had also said, well, yeah, when Sevilla was winning every Europa League, they'd get into Champions League next season and just crash out because they weren't good enough. But with the new format, I think you do have a little bit more chance to sneak through rather than like being hard stuck in your group And, you know, yeah, you got Arsenal, Bayern, and I don't know, maybe like a Sporting or someone, like three teams that are above you. And, okay, yeah, we're in Champions League, but then we just fall out right away. Or, I don't know, the league format seems to open doors for some quote-unquote weaker teams that make it in.
Yeah, and when you drop, you don't can't go to another tournament and win that, right? Which is what Sevilla did all those years. So yeah, it makes sense to me. I think it's fine the way it is. Get top four and or win Europa and get Champions League.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that in my eyes.
No, yeah. I think it's okay.
All right. Talk a little Liverpool here.
Yeah.
Not too much, obviously, that happened over the weekend. But Trent Alexander-Arnold officially stated that he will be leaving the club after 20 years through youth and senior. It's tough. Tough pill to swallow, right? Considering Mo and Virgil signed on. Yeah. Apparently, we gave Trent a huge offer that would have made him one of the most expensive players in the history of the footballing world, especially at the right back position. He said no. He says, I want to take my talents elsewhere. Where that might be, unknown. Hasn't been said yet. We have a couple rumors out there. Madrid is definitely one of them. I just had a couple thoughts on this. I thought his timing was very unusual, right? Haven't lifted the cup yet. You still got some home games to play. What's the fan? What are fans going to do? I'm sure we'll be applauding him, but at the same time, there will be some like, you could have had it all. You could have had it all. Money, statue, potential for more trophies here. Literally be, if he would have came on in that conference presser, just the interview he had and said, you know, I'm not fucking leaving, dude, everyone would have lost their minds. Now, I would have had a little bit of a concern just because, say Liverpool has an off year next year, where does his mentality go? He had one foot out the door this year. If something goes bad next year, is he going to, like, you know, not stay fully committed? So I'm okay to let him go, do what you want to go do. However, if you don't go to Madrid and you go somewhere else in the Premier League, that's where we're going to have a problem. And honestly, that's where I kind of have a fear. I don't think Trent really fits in with the Madrid style of play. They have great wingers. What do they need a wing back in Trent for? I don't necessarily think he is the right person for them. I think there's a lot of solid right backs in the world right now that could come into Madrid for way less money and be more fitting to their style of play, right? I understand Trent has some awesome crosses, awesome passes. He can play that right side just as good as anyone else, but you have someone over there who's young right now, and Rodrigo, who I would see Trent kind of taking up that space away from him. And when you have Mbappe and Vinny, like, where do those spaces go? Like, how does that team get organized? I get having the best players in the world will likely make you the best team in the world. But as far as what the style of Madrid has played, it just doesn't seem very fitting. Like, Dumfries seems more fitting for that style, for that team, because he doesn't need the ball, right, to do good things. And when he does get the ball, good things do happen, as we saw in the last leg of the Champions League. So my fear, Chad, is that he goes to Man City, and I'm not kidding. I have a really weird feeling that Madrid is kind of playing around with this. Hasn't officially said anything yet. Maybe they can't by law, but I don't know, man. If Pep comes in there last second and says, I'm retiring in 2 years, come play for me, take out the Liverpool past, what player really says no to that? I don't think there's many out there that say no to playing with Pep.
And I think your crosses will find more success with Haaland than Mbappe or Vinny.
And I think that's what Pep is going to tell him. I don't know, man. It's a crazy theory. I haven't really seen much of it like talked about in any threads or anything. But I'm really hoping Madrid sign this guy. Or if it's not Madrid, someone you know, not in the Premier League. And again, I think the only team in the Premier League that would do this or could do this is City.
Yeah.
And boy, that would not go well. It was already rough with Sterling. This would be a whole nother level with Trent.
That would be, that's like, I don't know. I didn't thought about that.
Dude, this is Anakin to Darth Vader. It's that bad.
No, exactly, yeah. Dang. I mean, yeah, you make a good point that, you know, Madrid could just sign him just because they have this constant like need for wanting to be the next Galacticos kind of vibe, but
they don't need him.
Yeah, they don't exactly need him. Where City, on the other hand, does need him.
They need a right back. They need one bad.
Especially, you know, you're losing De Bruyne. Trent brings in some creativity. You know, even your right wing is not overly strong as we've seen this season. It's, you know, mainly just Haaland and I guess Marmoush a little bit.
But
he's going to be playing the left. So Trent kind of helps on the right attack too. Oh,
I don't feel good.
No,
I don't feel good about it.
I don't think it'll happen, but there's a lot of reasons it should happen.
If I was City, I would be pressing for this move so hard.
Yeah. I mean, I think they could definitely persuade him. I think it, you know, will take some work, but they certainly got the money they can throw at him. You can, you know, say, okay, yeah, you're coming to a rival, but now you get to stay close to family and you know, not uproot your whole life, basically. I don't know. I think Real will have the pull of being like, you got to play for Real Madrid. But they're kind of in a weird phase now too, right? Ancelotti's leaving.
Xabi just got signed.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, 3 years.
Okay. So, I mean, that can maybe help the Madrid side. You know, it's young, new manager promising, you know, displays at Leverkusen and stuff, but and then, yeah, I guess you're playing with some of the best players in the world, but I don't know.
It's a little scary. Just a little bit. And then,
a little scary.
And then on the flip side, Liverpool apparently threw out an offer to Kevin De Bruyne, which I just find... You didn't hear about this? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Could be a fantastic rumor, but also, I'm okay with it. This is like James Milner, but... you know, on steroids, considering we got James Milner, who was obviously a much different player than De Bruyne, but I will not say no to a free transfer for Kevin over to our team and sign him for, you know, probably like a 2-year deal, probably same as like Mo.
Sure.
And see what we can cook in the mid. I think Kevin right now at this point is probably that 20 to 30 minute like super sub or having those 90 minute games and then not playing for a little bit. I think we have to be realistic if we're going to make that signing. But Kevin's on the ball, the respect is still there. It's more so I'm not expecting Kevin to go box to box here and kind of be leading the charge, which, again, he's coming to Liverpool, and that's not going to be his role. That would be a fascinating transfer. However, if that goes through before anything happens with Trent, I could see City doing some retaliation type move as well, being like, well, you take our guy, we're taking yours, right? It'll be a lot of mind games at that point. And I don't know if the rumor happened just to kind of sway City to get away from Trent. Again, there's no real rumor out there for it. This is all my thought process on it about Trent. It's just, I just don't want to see him in blue.
No. I don't think it'll happen, but you did just open that whole door to me, so
it's something to pay attention to, because Madrid again has not been very public. When I say Madrid, journalists have been very forward about you know Trent wants to go play with Jude, but duh, you could have made that connection a year ago. Which they were, just because of their relationship. Mm-hmm. So I think if Jude wasn't on Madrid, it would be a little bit more mysterious, right? But who's to say City won't tell Trent, we'll persuade Jude to come over here, you know, middle of his contract. Like, why? Yeah. Or they'll say to Trent, why does Jude dictate where you go? You can have some dictation in where Jude wants to go.
You know, why is it? Like, it could be multiple reasons, but, you know, it seems to be pushed forward that, he wants to play with Jude because they're friends or whatever, which is great, but, like, that can't be such a big reason why you uproot your legacy at Liverpool, potentially, and you know, leave now, which, I don't know. I get, like, if we're going off of what he says, wanting, you know, just to experience new things. But I think you're young enough. You maybe ride this out a little bit longer. Like, I get this season was a big question mark for a lot of players, but because, you know, slots coming in, you don't really know how it's going to look, how he wants to play. But I think you see he plays a style that suits your team and you know, is still fun on the attack and you know, challenges you to defend and everything. And then I think when you see Salah and Van Dijk sign on, they're like, okay, well, you know, they're bought in at least for a couple more years. Like, maybe you just swing that kind of deal of like, you know, I've been here 20 years. Yeah. But like, I do have an idea of wanting to go experience something different, but you know, let me ride this out one more season at least. Which I get like is not a great option for the club, but I don't think you leave this Liverpool team at this point. Like, you won the league handedly, but then there's still some disappointment in Champions League and, you know, FA Cup and stuff and like all these other facets that this slot team could blow up into, you know, next season if everything comes to plan.
We're supposed to spend some money.
Yeah, so I mean, it's a weird time to leave. I think, like you said, a weird time to announce it. It's just kind of a weird situation overall, really. Like, I feel like all these announcements like that, if it's like a Jamie Vardy thing where he was like, I'm leaving Leicester, you know, you've been my whole, like, you know, top-end professional career. Okay, do that early because, like, your career is basically winding down. Like, you may go to another Premier League team, but you know, it's nothing. You're not going to a title challenger or like a direct Leicester rival that you'll meet in Champions League or whatever, right? So, like, that kind of makes sense to announce a little bit early and get those final kind of send-offs. Whereas, like, this is like, you might as well have just waited for a season to end and then make the announcement.
I'm saying. yep. I don't know, just the kind of teasing throughout the season too, like I don't know, taking the jersey off and he didn't, I mean, he took his kit off, but like, he didn't put it on the flag. And there were other times when remind me, he didn't necessarily point to the badge, but he did this, like, it's all talk. Which I now I'm like, what did you mean by that? Right. If you're saying it's all talk, what does that mean? To me, that tells me it's rumors. Don't like it's.
Yeah, I mean,
it's phony.
Maybe at that point it was, but
I don't know. That wasn't that long ago.
No. Yeah. I feel like I feel like he probably made his decision, or at least like 90% of the way a while ago. But he's, you know, trying to stay mostly focus on this season, and then when Europe falls away and then Premier League title secured, then like, now he's all right, commit to whatever his future is. But weird to like kind of lead everyone on in almost like both directions. Like, he didn't come out and say no, but then if you're doing like the celebrations that kind of show that you're pumped to be here, you're enjoying your time, and don't listen to the talk, whatever, but at the same time not coming out and saying, like, you're not interested in leaving. You're fully focused on Liverpool. Like, yeah, just a weird handling of it all, I think. And
yep.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see his reception at Anfield. But at least one more game, I don't know.
Yeah, we have Arsenal this weekend. I think the final game is at home.
Oh, yeah, Palace at home.
Yeah, so that'd be cool. We get to lift the trophy at home. See what that looks like. But something to think about. Something to think about. All right, how much time you got, Chad? I know you're kind of on a little schedule here.
Yeah, another 10, 15.
All right, let's just take a look at top five, top six, top seven, really, at that matter. We're due for a really spicy finish, especially if Arsenal does lose this weekend and everyone gets a win. Right. Right. That would be kind of crazy if it happens. We'll just say, just for our sake, Arsenal win. They're at 70 points. Everyone else is still at least a game clear. Forest has to be probably the one stressing the most right now, considering where they were arguably, we'll call it 6 weeks ago. You know, three losses in the last six. Not a great showing. You got Villa right on your tail. And then, you know, Chelsea, Newcastle, they could crash out of this thing. They really could. Yeah. Or they could stay right where they are. And then City, I think if kind of they have a really easy end of season schedule. I don't, as much as I would love them to drop points here, it seems unrealistic. For the sake of us, I think we can just kind of give them at least a Champions League spot. However, 4 through 7, I could not tell you who is going to make it out of those four into the final two Champions League spots.
Yeah. Well, Newcastle and Chelsea actually play each other this weekend.
Oh, beautiful. So that'll be
deciding. A nice start to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it kind of depends on what Arsenal does here. If they get the win against Liverpool, I think they'll be fine. But the next week they do play Newcastle. So
wow.
It'll be interesting to see if Arsenal is secure in second. You know, are we messing around for the final two games then? Or, you know, we kind of have a competitive recent history with Newcastle. So, like, do we want to come out and just kind of show up for this game and you know, make them work for it? I don't know. But, yeah, so, I mean, yeah, Newcastle, Chelsea play each other this weekend. Then Newcastle's got Arsenal the following weekend. And then on the flip side, Chelsea could luck out. They got United next week, who very well could just be resting every player they want to use in the final. But then that following week, they close out away at Forest. So
wow,
it's all these games right in that zone that some of this might run down to the final day, depending on almost kind of depending on this week and how that shakes out.
Yeah, it's good we're seeing some matches in here that are going against each other in this top six. I mean, could you imagine if City drops points against Southampton? Oh my goodness, there's no way. But I really like Aston Villa's form. I think they're kicking themselves for losing, you know, against City. That was a pretty close game, and they probably could have gotten it. And City, of course, the last-minute goal to get them the victory. You know, a draw there would have made this even spicier. Two teams at 61 and then three teams at 63. Yeesh. So that was the game, I think, that solidified City is going to make it. Yeah, it'll be kind of I think the X factor here is really how well Forest can play in these next three games. I mean, they have a pretty forgiving schedule. Like, they should beat Leicester, they should beat West Ham, and then Chelsea. I don't know. Maybe at that point, I think if Chelsea beat Newcastle this week, that should give them pretty good security to making top five. So maybe by that last game, they're gonna not necessarily. I don't know. I don't want to say try hard, but they might play this strategically, saying, hey, do we want, like, they make, Chelsea might get the choice here of deciding who's in top five between Castle or Forest or even Aston Villa. So some teams might have some, cards to play, games to throw, decisions to make. I mean, do you play that way? Yeah. Sometimes, right? Sometimes you don't want a team to make top five.
Yeah, you're in this position where, you kind of can dictate who goes through. So, I don't know. Maybe you don't consciously do it, but maybe there is some subconscious, like, you know, we don't exactly turn up for this game, or, you know, just don't give it 110%, but it's going to be tight. Tight finish. Yeah, I think 4-7 is kind of the only zone to watch at this point, but
unless City drops points or Arsenal drops points, then it just gets gets blown open. Like, Arsenal should be good to make top five, but again, if say the three teams, I guess Newcastle, Chelsea can't get three points this weekend, but say City and Castle do, and Forest do as well, it's then 2 weeks to go. Man, I hope for your sake that doesn't happen, but it very well could. If Liverpool decide to play this weekend, which again they kind of like didn't at all against Chelsea.
Yeah, you know, just take it easy. I think we're out here having it's just a game. Why do you have to be mad? You know,
I was shocked to see Salah go for a full 90. Honestly, last weekend against Chelsea, I was like, I wonder if he has something in his contract where it's like minimum amount of games played, and for a full 90, so you get something in your contract.
Maybe.
I just can't imagine that's gonna happen again.
Maybe he was just like, I just want one more full game this season, and then.
Yeah, maybe some of the goals he wanted. I don't know, but Arsenal might say, please, just give us, like, we just need this one and we're good. That's all we want.
Look, we got enough draws to give you such a comfy lead to get the title. You know, just let us have this one game.
13 draws, man. Second most in the Premier League.
Yeah, crazy.
Well, could have been.
Yeah, but you go again for next season, right?
Yep, spend some money, get a striker.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have much more to say about that. I think this weekend will give us some good content, though.
Yeah, I think it kind of felt like this past weekend was just almost like a hangover of the league being decided.
Yeah.
Where, like, it seemed like every team was just like, all right, I guess we're just playing.
Yeah, you're totally right. There was no, besides, I guess, City, you know, finding a way to win that game, that was kind of it. There wasn't anything that felt super significant. A lot of 1-1s, bottom teams playing against each other. I guess Brentford beating United was fun, as always. Hangover is a great word for it. But yeah, this weekend is setting up for the final day, which could make or break some team seasons, especially Forest, man. Considering Forest was in third for what felt like 85% of the season, and now to almost not be in Europe at all, which again, Hooligans Pitch, we said that back in January, our fear for the second half of Forest was teams could have figured them out, and they don't have an in-and-out everyday goal scorer. Now, Chris Wood is great. We said that too, but he's not the type of guy that's going to come in there and beat you per se, but he will put the ball in the back of the net when the opportunity is given. Their recent form is kind of rough.
Yeah, so I want Forrest to get through.
Oh, me
I
too.
Really do.
Me too.
But man, they got to figure it out quick.
They deserve it. After the season they had, they definitely deserve it. They just had this last 6 weeks of slipping, so they got to find a way to stop that.
Which only hope,
honestly, going against Leicester right now is the perfect opportunity to fix that.
Oh my gosh.
So I expect some goals. All right, you got any more to say?
No, I don't think so. I think
we nailed
pretty
it.
Good for this week.
We'll probably be back here. What games do we have? Monday games, or is it over on the weekend?
I think on the weekend.
Over on the weekend. Yep. All right, final game will be Liverpool and Arsenal. So
nice.
We'll check back then. Chad, you have a wonderful Friday, and I'll see you in a couple days.
Sounds good.
All right. With that, Hooligans Pitch. We're out. Peace.
Peace.